The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like life. It's better with you. My life. It's better with you. This is true. It's better with two. My life.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother and Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis Big Dog Woof Woof McElroy.
And I'm also a new brother and happy to be here, Ron Funches.
Ron Funches is our newest brother. That's true.
That's our new brother, Ron Funches. We had to get rid of Griffin. They say last in, first out. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He's the youngest one, and we needed some new, fresh blood on the show. So we brought our dear friend, Ron Funches.
Yeah, it's what some would call a studio reboot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of your family.
Yeah. That's right. We started with the family first. Like, Ron has been inserted into our family for, God, it's been a few months now, Ron, where we brought you have dinner with us, mm-hmm. and all the usual.
Lots of salads.
Yeah, Christmas lots gift exchanges, salads, yeah. All the usual. Mm-hmm. And now, only now that we've perfected and honed those rhythms that it took us decades to perfect with Griffin, now we're ready for to make a podcast together. And that's so exciting.
Well, it's fun. It really didn't take that long with me. He must have been, you know, not that enjoyable to take decades to get that repertoire that only took us weeks.
I wasn't going to say it, Ron, but that is accurate. Wrong. You know what I mean? I feel like you're more our brother now than Griffin ever was.
Wow. You know,
yeah.
I do want to say it because I felt it.
I want to say it too.
Yeah. Why not say things?
Can I get a chance saying it?
Ron, say it.
You feel like more like our brother than Griffin ever has or ever will.
Yep.
I agree.
This is very exciting because Ron also has a thrilling, I mean, you know Ron from everything. Most importantly, like us, he was a star of Trolls and Trolls World Tour. We were only in the second one. But, you know, Ron's done that with us, and Ron does
they
a lot.
They couldn't afford you for the first.
That's right. It was an indie project back then. Ron does stand-up. Ron does a podcast. And
Ron does streaming on Twitch.
Ron does everything. But right now, I want to talk about, I'm so excited, for CHOP 420 on Discovery Plus launching, I guess, as the crow flies, tomorrow, if you're listening to this launch day, and why wouldn't you? Can you just tell me what it's like? How is it, Ron?
It is as if, at some point I just have to go like, am I dead? Is this a thing where, I'm just living in my brain, you know, like a Matrix style thing of a future that I created that I would have wanted where they feed me delicious foods of ducks and extravagant items. And then they're also infused with marijuana and I get to host a show and I had to sign a contract that said, are you okay with smoking marijuana on camera? Which most of my contracts say, please don't smoke marijuana when you get here.
How do you like keep a balance? Like, at any point, did you have to like pull aside a producer and be like, just a quick update? I'm getting too high to do television.
Am I too high? We're still making a TV show, right?
I have a pretty good tolerance, so it never really came up. And also, I like to be professional. So, I have to eat that much, and I just have to smoke on occasion. So I just try to host and have fun and then smoke after, or smoke whenever was appropriate. But, you know, it never became an issue for me. I could have done more for personally.
Now, Ron, what's it like having a high tolerance with marijuana? Because if I hear that somebody, like just hearing you talk about it now, contact, is making me feel like my organs are moving around inside my body.
It's nice, and also there's pluses and negatives. I think having a low tolerance is fun because then it doesn't take much at all.
It's cheaper.
And you're happy with anything. Exactly. Yeah. But then having a high tolerance can be fun because you learn to appreciate the different flavors, the different notes of things. And it can be fun, like people who love wine a lot are just alcoholics, but you get to still have fun with it, you know?
Ron, I'm really excited that we got you here, because this gives us a chance to sort of shepherd the next generation of TV stars. Because as you know, as everyone knows, we had a kind of a huge hit series called My Brother, Me on the CISO streaming network. And now I'm so excited to pass on sort of our expertise that we gained from those six episodes of television.
The number one thing, if I may, Justin.
Yeah, please.
If you need to go potty during filming, you say 10-1, and it means you have to go pee. And 10-2 means you need to make a dookie. And you say those things, and it confuses the crew, so they can't judge you for releasing your bodily stuff. So that's just something you need to know.
I feel like that might be something our sound guy made up. Especially the part where you have to delineate what you'll be doing in the bathroom. Now, I can't imagine why the sound guy needs to know that.
I will say, the other day, when I was doing the live stream escape room, all of a sudden, Neil Patrick Harris sprung up from his chair and yelled 10-1 and ran off screen.
No, it's so,
that's
real
a live
thing.
Stream.
It's there's a no, real thing.
There's no editing. Now, Ron, how many episodes can we expect in the first batch from Chop 420?
Well, you can expect 5 episodes to drop on 420 on Discovery Plus. Gives you a chance to binge them all. Gives a chance to hopefully get people to rewatch them. And I would love to just get right back to making a new batch, because I it's my favorite job I've ever had. I'm really good at it, I think. So, I'd like to keep doing it. And it's just, it's so fun to me, because it's like kind of a perfect mix of what I try to do. It's got the Chopped franchise, which is like a tentpole of the cooking community. It's in the background of everyone's home. And then you add marijuana and me. It's fun. It's going to be so fun. And I just want people to give it a chance.
You have the parts. Normally the hosts on these will like snatch a bite of the food, even though they're not judging, they'll like get a bite, right? Is that the way? I feel like that'd be so much pressure, because I like most stuff that I eat. You know what I mean? Like, I like most things, so I feel like I would be the one who's like, no, I don't know, seems good to me. Seems good. It's all warm all the way through and stuff. It's got salt. I love it. And then the judges would be like, you uncultured buffoon.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Yeah.
Okay, I'm good. My anxieties are justified.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's what it was like to host it. But I felt okay with that, because, you know, I felt if people were already, because, you know, you get the, like, there's been other like pot cooking shows, but they're all like real laid back and stuff. And I think this one, you know, people were really going for that $10,000, as a lot of these chefs hadn't worked that much recently because of the pandemic, of course, you know. And so I was like, oh, I can kind of like, there's other people's jobs to tear apart their dishes or whatever. Like, I think it's my job to kind of just let everybody shine, and, you know, and kind of cheerlead for everybody and support all the people. And I'm good at that. So that's kind of what became my role in the whole show.
Now, was there ever a moment, and I know you can't give spoilers, Ron, but was there ever a moment where somebody finished their dish and realized they'd forgot to put marijuana in it and just kind of sprinkled it on top?
Yes. Yes.
I knew it.
Yes, there was.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get into, like, let's, I mean, I want to help people.
Yeah, dude.
Especially we have somebody who actually knows what they're talking about for a change. Let's go. My friend and I have been talking a lot, and in the past several conversations we have had, she has mentioned a hat that I knitted for her. She had thanked me many times for it and made comments about how much she likes it. I had no memory of ever giving her a hat, but I do knit. So I assumed I gave it to her a long time ago, and it had slipped my mind. For this reason, I've mostly just given a vague, "You're welcome," anytime. Recently, I was at her house and she pointed out the very well-made hat to me. Brothers, I did not make this hat. Brothers and Ron Funches, I did not make this hat. She has now asked me a couple times whether she can pay me to make another one like it. Do I agree to make her another hat under the guise of being the original hat's creator? Do I come clean and face questioning about why I pretended to remember making the hat? That's from Knitting Confusion in North Carolina. You should have told the truth the first time. I mean, I don't know how many times we have to tell people this, but I feel like if you lie one time, that's kind of, you've made that decision. I don't know.
You gotta commit to the lie now.
You gotta commit now. You've made a prison of lies and you're living it.
This feels like a different scenario though, because they didn't lie. Someone said, "Did you make that hat?" And they thought, "Well, I've made a lot of hats. I don't remember it, but probably, yeah, sure." Like, I don't know. I think that was just more of like, you know, you assumed you made the hat.
No. She pointed the hat out. Did you remember the part from the story now, where the friend pointed the hat out to you at their house?
But that was after they had already said that they made it. That was after the assumption. Let's call it what it is. You're not wrong. The lie, but it was kind of an accidental lie.
No.
Can I point out one thing?
Please.
And I'm not a judge. I'm very sex positive in all terms, but this person sounds like a bit of a hat floozy.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't want
to
say it.
Random
but...
hats from whoever to the point that they don't know where they got the hat from.
That's a good point.
How many hats is this person getting?
Yeah. Get all the hats you want out there, but don't then turn around and then make other people feel bad about it. I feel like maybe, you go ahead and say, "I will make you another hat," but it doesn't have to be like that hat. You just go, "Look, each one is a piece of art that I've made. That was the mood I was in for the previous hat, and now you get this other style hat." I bet you they won't say anything.
I'm not the me I was when I made that hat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's not a lie, okay, right? You're not the person who made that hat.
That's actually pretty good. You know what? We said that once you lie one time, but Travis kind of inadvertently made a decent point in that you did have a one off ramp. You had a chance. You had one chance when you saw the hat to be like, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I was confused about a different hat. This is not my work. I think there's a miscommunication," but you didn't do that. And that was your last chance. You didn't do that. You have to live with this. You cannot go back. It's too wild.
Yeah. That was when the mistake was made.
The only out now is to truly just like borrow that hat and go like, "I'm going to need this hat to recreate it," and then you just have to spend your life trying to recreate that hat perfectly.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to say it, but I think that's your only option.
You could also just stop talking to this person.
Oh, that's cool. That's
cut them out of your life.
Yeah, that's always an option. I take that's that one right so there. Many times.
Would you guys like a Yahoo answer?
Oh man, it's still a little fresh. The wound's still a little fresh because it is dying on. The last day to submit questions is tomorrow. Trav. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Okay, I'm filling in for Griffin here. So it's weird. This is uncharted territory for me, but here we go. This was sent in by Ben Kant, I believe the wizard Ben Kant, if I remember correctly. It's asked by an anonymous Yahoo Answers user who I'm going to call Griffin McElroy. And Griffin McElroy asks, "Do you think frogs even like eating bugs, or is it just their nature instinct?" I like this question because it does posit the idea of like a frog like eating a bug and be like, "Oh, I wish I could eat something else. Oh, gross."
Yeah, I mean, I guess bugs are just, I think it is probably instinctual. Well, would you have to be taught where your parents probably have to teach you which ones are bugs, right? Because otherwise parents? You're going to think apples are like very large stationary bugs, you know, or cars are like gigantic metal bugs that you can eat. Like your parents have to teach you bug from not bug, I would assume.
Well, do you think that after a while, like you eat bugs for a while and then you see like a human being like having a hamburger and you're like, wait, hold on. What the fuck is that?
No. No, I don't.
You don't think that happens?
No, I don't think so.
No, it's so big. You know, I mean, it wouldn't even occur to you.
You're out there in the swamp. There's a lot of options. There's other things. There's tadpole. Oh, I mean, I guess you wouldn't need a tadpole.
Oh, God, no.
That'd be ghoulish. You'd like, get yourself kicked out.
Yeah.
Kicked out of your frog family.
I like to see what happens with that one, to tell you the truth. But I feel like you love the bug. There's other options you could be having, and you're choosing the bugs. I mean, I like crabs. Well, crabs, but bugs of the sea, you know? Who are we?
Who are we to judge frogs?
No, I was just asking who we were.
Just generally.
Oh, just that. Oh, Ron. We're the McRoy brothers.
Yeah, you, us three.
Oh yes, I forgot.
I mean, like, I feel like nature is part of it, but there's definitely some trial and error, right? I mean, you're definitely going to eat something that's not a bug, and it turns out it was a pop cap. And it's like, oh man.
Yeah, I don't want that. I feel like they eat certain bugs, right? Not every bug passes the test. There's some type of palate involved.
You gotta like some bugs more than other bugs, I guess.
Well, I mean, Timon and Pumbaa did teach us that, like, one, bugs are delicious. But two, there's gotta be bugs that frogs are like, oh, shit, yeah, that bug, that's the best bug. We love eating those bugs. Those bugs, though, those are the bad-tasting bugs. We don't like those bugs.
Probably.
That's science. That sounds very scientific.
It's just science.
Here's another question. While in a car with my new coworkers, I was offered a piece of hard candy I had never tried before. I gratefully accepted it, and I was enjoying the candy when I realized it was chewable. Now I'm sitting in the back seat trying desperately to figure out if this is supposed to be gum or something to be eaten. I've been studying the way my coworkers are moving their jaws, and I still don't know what this candy is. What should I do? I really don't want to embarrass myself in front of my new friends. It's from Flumix in Florida.
Wow. Well, first of all, they've probably been holding on to this for a long time now.
Yeah, there's no way we've gotten to this person in time to help.
It's got to be stale by now, or their mouth, they're just really chewing.
I enjoy that the person, this question asker, did not tell us what candy this is.
They don't know.
They don't know. It's a new experience to them.
They don't even
thing that I like about them, first of all, that they were open to new candies. I like that as a person. To me, that tells me that you've already found friends that are going to like you and enjoy you, that you were open and willing to try a new candy experience you never had before.
I'm going to, even if it's new to you, I refuse to believe you got a friend up in the front and they're like, hey, do you want candy? Do you want a candy?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, I'm going to enjoy a candy. Would you like to enjoy a candy with me?
Well,
like,
no one would say it that way, you serial killer. They would say a piece of candy.
That's so nondescript. I couldn't answer that. How do I know what if you got Good and Plenty's up there? And I'm going to subject myself to that. Come on.
Now, first of all, Good and Plenty's are fine.
Don't you disrespect thank you so much.
Oh, God, I'm outnumbered. Thank you, my brother. Get Griffin back.
I understand if you've had the most majority of Good and Plenty's are stale and inedible bricks, but if you just happen to have a lucky day of finding a fresh batch of Good and Plenty's, it'll change your opinion.
Really, Ron? I can't get on board with it. Maybe it's like, it's been a long time since I've tried them. I'm older now and I've learned a lot about the world.
It is a grown person's candy. It's an adult candy.
You need a mature palate to enjoy a Good and Plenty. I also, I think I have a soft spot in my heart for Good and Plenty because they're basically the name of them were like, they're fine, there's a lot of them, right? Like, the claim to fame is they're okay and there's more than you expect.
Which is true. They feel it to the brim.
Yeah. They know what they are. You know, they're not called like excellent and plenty. They're good.
Okay, but you have, okay, But what what you have said is, has a grain of truth, not the good part, but the plenty part is interesting because most snack or junk type foods market themselves on their craveability.
Yep.
Like if you think about Pringles, like once you pop the fun don't stop, Lay's potato chips, bet you can't eat just one, right? What Good and Plenty has the guts to say is you will get to a point where you're like, I've had plenty of these.
Yeah, that's enough.
I think I don't need any
more
right now.
There's more than the one serving in here.
And this is fine.
Yeah.
This is good.
This is good. I'm at a good level with these.
Yeah, well, you just need something to chew on. Yeah. That's what Good and Plenty's there for.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. It's a fair point. What was the question? Oh, I don't, just swallow it. I mean, you're going to swallow it one way or the other. Might as well swallow it right now. Just swallow it.
Yeah, and if it started off as a hard candy that got chewable, odds are it's a candy, not a gum. Like, I don't know many gums that start off that way, unless you're like a... even the hardest of the icebreakers, you know, aren't like a hard candy. I think it must be a candy with a gooey, chewy middle in the same family of a Good and Plenty or M&M's.
I have been tricked by a Mentos before because a Mentos, its original, right, seems so much like gum and is not. And then there's Mentos gum, which is almost exactly the same as Mentos. Except it's gum. It's really fucking with me, guys.
I think you figured out what it was. I think it must be a Mentos.
It's got to be, right?
It's got to be confusing as shit. Mentos.
I guess. I mean, I guess it's possible. Anything's possible in this world, but I don't know.
You just got to dream.
I guess you just swallow it. That's actually where I'm going to come down. No matter what it is, and I think that I think you can later be like, that candy was great. What was that? Oh, maybe can you stash it? Can you kind of park it like you're supposed to do with nicotine gum? Just like park it behind your lower lip and just be like, oh, that was great. I've finished it. I've either spit it out or swallowed it.
I finished mine.
I'm done with my candy. I'm done.
What was that again? I want to buy more later so I can either swallow more or spit out more pieces of it.
Yes, first. I'm done.
My candy experience is complete. This is why cars should never have gotten rid of ashtrays in the door handles, because that's where you could have hidden this, but not now. There's not a good receptacle for this in cars these days. Bring back car ashtrays. You guys remember those?
Yeah, I love the car ashtray. The Lincoln Continental.
Ooh.
Oh, fancy.
I didn't realize we were dealing with royalty.
I work in an engineering company, and my coworker Kyle has been acting strange lately with others and myself. He pins blame on other people and outright avoids projects with problems, but he's fine with me for some reason. I have no quarrel with him and relatively just chill with others. We are going out to a brew house tonight with everyone in the department invited. Should I invite Kyle? Mm-hmm. That's for antisocial engineer in York. Oof. Kyle on the outs. Poor Kyle.
He seems like he's making this problem.
Here's the thing, though. Kyle seems fine with the question asker for some reason. Yeah. I don't know that I'd want to throw that away. You don't want to get on Kyle's bad side.
That's true, because that way, if you can play both, you get the full scope of the office, right?
Yeah.
You get the anti-Kyle people telling you things, and then you can have the Kyle telling you his crazy side.
Your little Kyle birds. Your little Kyle birds telling you all your secrets.
Yeah. I want to keep a Kyle on my side.
I don't
think I want to ostracize Kyle. Especially, you might be all that Kyle has, and that's going to be hurtful. I think that's more important to foster that relationship with Kyle, because he really depends on you.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can just sort of toss him by the wayside, you know?
You might be able to bring Kyle back to the fold. You know what I mean? You might be able to reach out and help Kyle.
Exactly, because it says he's been acting strange lately. Kyle wasn't always like this.
Something's happened to Kyle.
Something's going on with Kyle, and Kyle divided against himself cannot stand. You gotta help Kyle out. You gotta build Kyle up, not tear Kyle down.
Yes, behind every powerful Kyle, there is a good friend. You could be that friend.
It's maybe time to invent something that happened with Kyle that you can tell everybody else that they'll be nicer to Kyle. Is that like Kyle's been going through a hard time lately?
I think
what kind of hard time?
You can say heartbreak.
Heartbreak is so versatile.
It really is, because people might assume romance, but you could have your heart broken about a lot of things, you know?
Yeah.
Heartbreak can come from anywhere. Welcome to our comedy podcast. Well, anything can make you sad, my friend.
Ron, you've probably had pretend jobs for about as long as we've had pretend jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it hard to reconnect to questions like this and remember what it was like to have like coworkers that you needed to navigate on a daily basis instead of just sort of like transient relationships that come and go with the ebb and flow of the entertainment industry?
I never heard it put so well. I can still because I've always used it as motivation. I can still like hear a bank call center phone calls going off in the back of my head, so I can still remember it. But that's also what makes me feel like, yeah, this is a make or break deal, right? Because Kyle's gonna find out about this party no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what, Ron makes a great point. It is 100% assured Kyle will find out about the party,
especially if people don't like Kyle. They will tell Kyle, I didn't see you there. Where were you, Kyle? They will tell Kyle.
Mm-hmm. I say, bring Kyle. What's the worst that could happen with him just coming out? Oh, he blames other people and he avoids work. That sounds like a cool guy in regular life to me.
Yep.
You're outside company hours. You leave the company stuff at home at 5 o'clock. You're like, let's go just hang as regular people. And what's going on today, work doesn't matter anymore. Unless it's your company, then it's a problem.
Hey, Ron, that actually reminds me. I'm meaning to ask you. Does the cast of Trolls ever get together and hang out? Because we haven't been getting those invites, if that's the case.
Yeah, if that's been happening, we haven't been on that list.
Like, are you and Anna Kendrick hanging out a lot?
I didn't know. I mean, I just thought you guys were busy.
Oh, okay. Huh. Okay, is this Sam Rockwell doing?
That's what they told me every time, you know, yeah. On the cruise.
There's a cruise?
On the troll
in the last year? Ron, that's a terrible idea. Wait, right, hold on.
You know, Ron, we were supposed to, this is going to be hard for you to hear, but we were supposed to go to the premiere of the movie.
Yeah.
Now, they did explicitly tell us we couldn't bring anybody.
They
wouldn't pay for our flights.
Yeah. But but we were somewhat invited.
They would permit our fucking human meat into this space with the other people, where we would be within like, oh, probably not. We would probably be in the overflow party where you're seeing Justin Timberlake on a jumbotron run through for 5 minutes. But really the greatest toll of COVID, that didn't happen because they didn't do that, so we didn't get to go to that. And that was probably like our one big shot.
That was our chance.
I was sad about that too, because my mom was sad because she wanted to meet Mary J. Blige and I wanted to meet George Clinton. So I also understand sad. And if it makes you feel better, I'll let you know that I shot something just yesterday that the assistant director wanted to let me know that because I was coming in at the time I did, I technically wasn't supposed to have lunch if I was really hungry, but find a way to get me something.
That's the kind of glamour that awaits you in the entertainment industry.
What's great about that?
No, I have to know. Stop. Don't move forward, Ron. I have to know what your response was. Were you hungry enough where you're like, see what you can scrounge, please?
No, I was actually at that point very, very thankful that my wife had packed me a protein shake so that I could just go, no, I'm fine.
I don't need your pity, BLT.
Yeah, I don't need your. Yeah, exactly. Oh, thank you.
It's wild that the different like strata of that. You know, I'll tell you a wild thing. You've probably seen stuff like this, but we did our, I don't know if you heard, but we did 6 episodes of a streaming TV show.
It was on CISO Network?
Yeah, it was on the CISO Network, and we shot it. And well, what the heck, Trav? Did we shoot that in 2016? Is that right?
Yeah.
Does that feel right?
Yeah.
So we shot that in 2016. The craft services table, which if you don't know some of the lingo going in, is where they put like food and drinks. And we had a micro budget for this show. So there wasn't really money for that. There was mainly like old styrofoam containers of people's food that they didn't take for lunch. And like, I think a few granola bars.
Yeah.
And then when they did the promo photos for it, they had a photographer fly in and the photographer in the photography area had the most lavish spread of snacks and treats I've ever seen in my entire life.
For us, it's like, it was like a step parent trying to impress the kid. Like, strange. Doug gave me a dog.
Yeah, I want every day to be photo day. This is amazing. Look at this, guys. This is fantastic.
Oh, I've been on a couple of CISO shoots. I knew the Trader Joe's crafty that they had there of a couple protein bars and some Crystal Geyser waters that usually was about the gist of it.
We shot in Huntington, West Virginia, so we would have murdered for Trader Joe's.
Yeah, you kidding me?
I noticed that this is getting more specific, but I think why not? We're all here. We're all friends here. I've found that most, in the very few instances, and it has been obviously quite a while, in a very few instances, I've been near a craft services table. One common mainstay is a big jug of trail mix.
Yep.
And I think that's very interesting because that seems like a bad choice for the environment. Because what they expect you to do is get a little styrofoam bowl.
Uh-huh.
I guess and just carry around a little bowl of trail mix.
And also often there are spoons involved.
Yeah, like I'm going to spoon out some trail mix for myself and just wander around with it.
Yeah, and into your hand, into your paw. And that way, it is very eco-friendly. But that's gone now because of COVID. The big jug of trail mix is
long. COVID.
Day. Yeah.
Takes everything from me.
How is it? How have you been? So the past, like, I don't know, what has it been? It's been almost exactly 13 months since things went sideways. How you been handling it, Ron?
It's always ups and downs, ebbs and flows, you know. It was terrifying for the first couple of months and not knowing, because stand-up was always not just my main source of income, but how I kind of defined myself. So kind of forced me to redefine myself as more of a full person, which I think is probably for the best. And then it just allowed me to start doing other things like the Twitch and the more voiceovers and be home more with my family, which was a true blessing to get, you know, married and hang around with my son as he's getting ready to turn 18 before he's, you know, doesn't want to hang out with me anymore. So, and then, you know, taking some opportunities I might not have done before, like the Chop 420, or, you know, I got a movie coming out called Golden Arm on the 30th. So at the end of it, I'm like, things are kind of okay. I'm all fine. And it makes me more grateful for when I can go back and do stand up whenever I can. Well, I mean, I'm going out and do some in May. So I'm trying to just stay grateful and happy.
Did you pick up any hobbies? Any non-entertainment hobbies?
I started taking singing lessons, but that sounds like, but it wasn't for like entertainment. It was just for me. So I just started taking some singing lessons and do that every Tuesday when I can.
That's nice.
I recently started taking blacksmith classes, but that is for entertainment purposes because I would like to win Forged in Fire.
That's fair. Have you found it hard? We were kind of jokingly grousing about this last week. Have you found it hard to like, or maybe 2 weeks, I don't know. Have you found it hard to like come up with new creative ideas? Have you been like creatively stymied at all by like the lack of new inputs from the outside world?
Oh yeah, I haven't written a joke in probably a year for sure.
I was gonna ask, is it like, hey, anyone ever notice how sometimes you come down for breakfast and your favorite chair like moved a little bit to the right and you're like, whoa, who moved my chair? You know what? You guys know what I'm talking about.
Have you guys ever noticed that my wife, Sydney McElroy, does this one thing?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much you got it. Lack of stimulus, you know, but I've been able to write. I did write a couple things, but I just would change it to other things instead. You know, I wrote a couple just script ideas, some treatments out and try to do it that way, which isn't as as instantly gratifying as doing stand up, but I felt like, you know, when you're writing jokes, if you can't practice them, if you can't get in front of an audience, they just kind of get stale.
Yeah.
Plowder me. No. So I just was like, well,
hey, Ron, that was a very cute sneeze process.
Yeah, adorable.
Thank you. Yeah, it's that I am who I am.
Now that we've gotten that out of the way, all of that personal stuff, because I think it's nice to check in. And we have, honestly, it's kind of self-serving because I have not a lot of other adults to talk to. Yeah. So like it is, I'm kind of using this to my own end. So I'm sorry to listeners for abusing your time that way. But hey, all these perspectives, I feel like the real downside of this is going to be when people start writing a lot about it. And it's like, everyone's experiences are so similar. I feel like this is going to be like, it's going to have this one period. Like if you set a movie in this time period, are you going to like do, I guess you just won't, right? We're just all going to pretend we didn't do this for a year.
Correct. That's what I feel like. I feel like maybe one person gets to do a great one and that's right. It. And then other than that, like, that's what I've been noticing from going out and doing some stand up is that, when people get on stage and they start like being like, oh, I went through this and that, people are all like, yeah. Yeah, we all did. And so it's like, I think, and what I truly enjoy is that people just want to be like, hey, I've been stressed out. Just be silly and make me happy. And I'm like, that's what, I mean, that to me is, was what I realized, like, oh, that's my job. That's my purpose right now. And if things are super stressed out, not to be like, well, can you believe this is going on? And I'm poking a hole at this. It's like, let me try to relieve some stress, you know?
Yeah.
Can I do a quick poll real quick for our listeners? And
A
poll, sure. Yeah. People listening, and of course, my two brothers, Ron and Justin, when you picture a movie about COVID and like starring someone and they're having the experience, does anybody else picture Steve Carell, or is that just me? It's just immediately something about it makes me think Steve Carell is going to be the star of the movie about someone's experience through COVID.
I have not gotten that necessarily. I guess I kind of, for some reason, imagine Jason Segel, who sort of seems like, oh no, something else happened to Jason Segel. Seems like
not again.
A lot of the stuff that's happening with him. And I feel like Jason Segel would be the one to make one.
Oh,
he's so tall.
It's Jason Statham, and he shrinks down.
Okay. Wait, yes.
COVID directly.
Yes.
Fuck yes. He
takes the fight to COVID. Yes. Where's that Osmosis Jones sequel? Where they like, there's a real bad dude on the block now. Now we really gotta get in there.
Now it's all animated except live action Jason Statham, who's been shrunk down interspace style to get in there and fight alongside Osmosis Jones and I believe a Tylenol pill.
Well, it was not real. It was Drix. It was not a real time.
Oh, right. And they were fighting Anthrax, if I remember correctly.
His name was just Thrax, but yeah, that was the implication that it was Anthrax that they were fighting.
One white blood cell and I believe a cold and flu pill were going to take out Anthrax.
What a wild movie!
And they were all inside Bill Murray's body.
More movies should take place. This was where this one should take place. I don't want to give Bill Murray COVID, but if anyone could make something out of it, he can.
Yeah, I hope he's been being safe.
Hope he's not crashing weddings.
I don't know. I would love to ask just random people on the street, like, do you think Bill Murray's been safe for the past year? Because I feel like it's 50-50 in my head. I have no idea. He's a bit of a recluse, so he could have just dialed that up a little bit and been, like, super recluse. But he also seems to like appearing in places. Hey, we're going to take a quick break from the hubbub of making a podcast to sell things to you. To sell things to you in a segment we call The Money Zone.
The Money Zone.
That's better, actually.
Thank you. I knew you had your own, but I want to, you know, as the littlest brother, I just want to do my part.
It's better. It's
Well, we sent Ron out of the room because honestly, he's a guest here and he shouldn't be exposed to such crass commercials.
He's afraid of commercials.
He said he'll never. He's an artist.
Yeah,
but we're not. We're shills.
No.
And first up in the shill station, which is what we're going to start calling this segment, is Honey. Now, this one isn't that hard for me to shill because I actually use and really like honey a lot.
You eat smackerels of it all the time.
No, Travis, that was in my younger, more poo-centric days. These days, for me, it's all digital honey, baby. It's a shopping friend, a shopping companion that lives in your browser. When you're about to check out, honey's like, whoa, you're going to pay full price? Give me a second. And then it goes and looks at the whole internet to see if it can save you some money with coupon codes or whatever. I bought some headphones not too long ago, and they were like supposed to be like $100 and some bucks. And
what?
Honey saved me like $10. It was amazing. And every time you check out, Honey does that. Like, hold on, let me see if I can get you a cheaper price. And it's free to use. It's fantastic. And it says, if you don't already have Honey, you could be missing out on free savings. And I'm going to take out that could.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say you probably are.
But you still, Justin, you still said probably. Just say you are.
You are. It's free. It's installs in seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/brother. That's joinhoney.com/brother. Go check it out right now. And I promise you're going to save a little do-re-mi.
It's so funny. Justin, it's so funny that you feel connected to Honey because I feel very connected to stamps.
Mm.
I love the things. I've used them. I've had them used on me, by which I mean people have sent things to me using stamps, not that people put stamps on me and ship me like I was Flat Stanley.
Sure, I understand.
Yeah, you get me. And so that's why I love stamps.com, because I love stamps, but I don't necessarily like going anywhere other than where I already currently am at any given moment. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take trips to the post office. I want to just be able to send things from my home. So stamps.com allows me to mail and ship anywhere right from where you are, right from your computer, right? So whether you're a small office sending out invoices, an online seller shipping out letters, or even a giant warehouse. It's important, I think, to include the warehouse part. Or even a giant sending thousands of packages a day. Stamps.com can handle all of that with ease. With Stamps.com, you get discounts of up to 40% off post office rates and up to 62% off UPS shipping rates. So stop wasting time going to the post office.
Yeah.
And go to stamps.com instead. There's no risk. And with my promo code, MYBROTHER, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. What are you waiting for? Do it. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in MYBROTHER, all one word. That's stamps.com, promo code MYBROTHER. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again.
Max Fun Drive 2021 is coming. It'll be May 3rd to May 14th. To get in the spirit, we asked folks like you to let us know what maximum fun and our shows mean to them.
You know, the Maximum Fun Network is really important to me because it is not just a collection of podcasts, but it is a lifestyle and a value system.
The podcasts frequently and deftly float between meaningful and irreverent, in one moment drawing attention to social issues, and in another making dick jokes about Klingons. It shouldn't work, but it does. And I have to believe it's because Max Fun's podcasts are, at their core, thoughtful and kind and human, during a time that has often felt cold and isolated.
So keep being great and doing what you do.
Max Fun Drive will be May 3rd to May 14th, 2021, and you won't want to miss it. Brilliant eps, Drive exclusive gifts, and maybe some surprises. Want to directly support the hosts of the show we just jumped into? Come back May 3rd for Max Fun Drive.
Okay, do you guys want to hear another Yahoo Answers question?
Please. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, this was sent in by Michelle Smith. And the question here, this is asked by Bush. Which celebrity could eat the most hot dogs if given the time and motivation to do so?
Ooh.
And let me be clear here. I think the answer to this could literally be anybody, right?
But yeah, I don't think it has anything to do in like with sort of their physical body. I think it's more about like the spirit.
Because
if you look at some of the competitive eaters, they're not people who you feel like have been eating like a while. Like they're surprising. It's a surprising thing.
And the best part about this question to me is one word, and that is motivation. Given the motivation to eat.
The motivation, right? They have to save their village or something. Right. I don't know, whatever the motivation
may be. Or like if they switched up some of the like qualifications to win an Oscar this year. You know what I mean? It was like, whoever can eat the most hot dogs, right?
I have two answers.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. The first answer, I think, is probably the most logical answer, as this person, I think, can eat a lot. We've seen it on their Instagram that they can eat quite a bit when given the motivation. They also work out a bunch. And I think they are the perfect specimen.
Yep.
They are the Beyonce for boys.
Yep.
The only person that could be both president and a competitive eater.
Yeah,
that is Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson.
I mean, it's a perfect answer. I mean, it's indisputable.
And he seems like a highly motivated man, right?
Highly motivated, to put it away.
Like highly motivated. The Rock seems like if he put his mind to anything, he would do it, right?
Yeah,
like,
Yeah.
My second answer is Helen Mirren, because she commits to everything.
She does commit. See, I think Clooney could put him away. I think Clooney, I could see him being suave and looking cool while he does it, but just kind of quietly consuming an absurd amount of hot dogs.
Yeah. Ben Affleck could eat a bunch.
Ben Affleck could. Oh, if they challenge, I would like to see the three Ocean's 11 leads, of course. the three of them, Brad Pitt, Ben Affleck. No, wait, Matt Damon. I always get those two confused. Matt Damon, Brad Pitt, and Clooney sit down and just have a hot dog eating contest. I'd pay to see that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That feels like one of the pranks they would have had. They love pranks. And it feels
they love their pranks. They do love their pranks. That's a good point.
You guys know about that time that the Clooney shit in a cat box?
Travis.
That's real. It was a prank. It's a prank.
It sounds apocryphal to me, but
no, this is a prank. He was staying. I'm trying to remember who he was staying with. It was something weird, like maybe Danny DeVito or somebody. We were staying with him, and every morning, Clooney would clean the person's cat box before they woke up. And so, for like a week, the person thought that the cat wasn't going to the bathroom. And so, then one morning, Clooney took a dump in the cat box and left it there for the person to find. And the person was like, "Holy shit, the cat just made a big human sized dookie."
That's such a wild. Can I say something? That's such a wild way to balance out the karma of cleaning out the person's litter box. Like, someone would be like, "Was George Clooney a good house guest?" And you just sit there in silence for 10 minutes. And be like, "Well, shit. Well, I don't know. I do hate cleaning the litter box."
Also, can we also imagine, like, they're usually enclosed. So,
yeah. Right. He'd have to climb in there.
But this is what I'm saying. He was motivated and he did it. He figured it out.
He wasn't going to get shown up by that contortionist from the Ocean's movies. George Clooney can do that too. I can That's do that true. For sure. Give me a half hour to get in this cat box real quick. I was in Tomorrowland. Come on.
It was Richard Kind. I looked it up.
He was staying at Richard Kind's house?
Yep.
God, that is a house party. I'd love to get an invite
to. Don't you dare do that to Richard Kind.
It's terrible. Don't do that to Richard Kind.
He seems like he's balancing as it is. If you that would send him off. I don't want that for him. He's such a his kind's in his name. You don't do that to Richard Kind.
When did I turn into Richard Mean? Well, it's quite a story. Let me indulge you. Do you know, have you ever heard of the show ER? Well, sit down, my friend. I got a tale to tell.
Do you remember a guy from the first two seasons of Roseanne?
It's weird that George Clooney was also on a sitcom called ER. Isn't that weird? You guys ever think about that? It's weird. He was also on a drama called ER.
Yeah, it's weird.
Just, I guess if somebody tries to make a show with ER in it, he's just gonna show up. Like, let me in there.
Yeah, get him.
I got E and an R in my name. No problem.
Ron, here in a second, we're gonna yell squad. You'll get it. You'll see when it happens.
I want a munch squad.
That's our cue.
But I want to munch
squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's podcast within the podcast, profiling the latest and greatest in brand eating, and we've got a lot of great news to you. Fazoli's, this is not a joke one. A lot of times they're funny. I just want to give everybody a heads up that Fazoli's is rolling out their wings system wide. This is breaking news. Finally, they've been having wings at some locations since September. One of the gifts of COVID is that I get to say the phrase new virtual wing concept, Wingville. From Fazoli's. They've been sneakily rolling these out to you via DoorDash and Grubhub, but now the time has come for all Fazoli's to have these wings. Menu innovation continues to be a key ingredient in Fazoli's recipe for success, says Fazoli's Chief Marketing Officer Jody Conrad. Delivery and drive-thru have both seen unprecedented sales growth for some time now. I mean, I have a theory about that, Jody. If you want to take a seat, I have some hard news for you to hear. It's been impossible to eat in restaurants for 13 months. So, but hey, we knew how innovating our menu with an easily transportable product like wings would be the perfect solution to leverage this shift in ordering channels.
Whew. Wow.
Wings have been a big contributor to our impressive achievements over the past 7 months. So we look forward to seeing this trend continue as we start serving them nationwide. Now, have you guys ever been at a Fazoli's and they give you a piece of pizza and you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? How can I get this home? This isn't transportable at all.
Mm.
No.
No, exactly. But that's not our big story.
Okay.
Our big story was sent to us by Jesse. Thank you, Jesse. It's slightly out of our typical purview. And I do mean purview.
Okay.
Because Fancy Feast has released Petite's Feast Cookbook, a recipe guide for humans inspired by their new single serving entrees for cats.
Wait. Hmm?
Don't get ahead of me now.
No, Justin, I just want to know, just a quick status update. We haven't even, pardon the pun, scratched the surface. And I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, then just take a seat, friend, because I'm here to tell you straight from the beautiful city of St. Louis. Fancy Feast, the most popular brand of gourmet wet cat food in the U.S., is celebrating the launch of Petite's, their premier line of single-serve entrees, by releasing a companion cookbook for humans.
Okay.
With the new Fancy Feast Petite's Feast cookbook, cat owners and fans of the brand... Hold on. Explain to me why you need to delineate between cat owners and fans of Fancy Feast.
You don't have to own a cat to like Fancy Feast.
You can just support the brand.
I just like what they're doing over there.
I just think they're doing good work. Fans of the brand can now cook meals inspired by their cat's favorite dishes.
Oh, boy.
But made for you.
Okay.
Available for download. That shows a lack of conviction, I think. Print this motherfucker. Let's go. Get it on eBay. Careful. The single serve cookbook features 12 delectable human recipes inspired by your cat's new favorite Petite's entrees. Now, this is a weird little cul-de-sac they've included here, is that the recipes are also single serve.
Uh-huh.
Which I... think
well, they'd have to be.
It's a little judgmental.
No,
I feel like.
No, that's just knowing the audience of a person who would buy a Fancy Feast cookbook. For one, and also your, but maybe for 12 cats, but one person.
Yeah,
fair.
You should actually take the time to dine with each of your cats, and if that means you have to eat 12 single serving meals, so be it. You have to give each of them the attention they deserve. Now, these are carefully crafted by Fancy Feast's in-house chef, Amanda Hassner, along with guest editions from James Beard Award nominee Jarrell Guy. James Beard Award nominee Jarrell Guy and actor-turned-baker Josh Schneider. The Petite's Feast
Chrissy Teigen? Wow.
You're just making stuff
That's
up.
That's such a get.
The Petite Fee Cookbook allows cat owners to take part in the dining experience with their cats. From chicken and ramen with tomato honey butter sauce to whitefish and asparagus with beurre blanc, the cookbook features recipes that are elevated but easy enough to whip up on a weeknight. Now, I'm going to stop you right there, Fancy Feast and House Chef Amanda Hassner. That does not seem easy enough to whip up on a weeknight, but please go on. Each dish was inspired by the small plate restaurant trend and cat food. Also, cat food. Can't forget that cat food. The recipes are for humans.
Okay.
Not normally something you have to clarify in a recipe scenario, but the recipes are for humans, but were created in honor of the dishes you will be serving your cat. Now, there's more to the press release, but I do want to stop for a second. Fancy Feast Petites are single serving cat foods that you peel and dump in a bowl.
Yep.
Do you feel like a cat would watch you whip up some whitefish and asparagus with beurre blanc for like an hour and a half, and the cat be like, listen, I appreciate the effort so much, but how is it that you're just going to like open up a package and dump it into a dirty bowl for me, but you're going to spend this kind of time on a product for you? I feel like there's still an imbalance here. I feel like we haven't rectified what's different between the two of us.
I also do like the implication here that like, you would do this and sit down to eat, and the cat would think, oh, finally, you're joining me in this.
Yeah, your cat is not going to enjoy this. You could try to get your cat to eat with you. I don't think your cat is going
to. How was your day? Wait, where are you going?
What's wrong? You know, for too long, dogs have had just a stranglehold of sitting and eating with their owner. They've had Lady in the Tramp.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like that's what cat owners want here. They want to be able to just share a meal and sit down with their cat, pull out a little magical cloche and just open it up, and one dish for you, one dish for the cat. And this is just something to really just go, this is who I am. And I've gone this far and I'm aware of who I am. And that's why.
I'm comfortable with myself, nice, and I like
it. I love the idea. I just don't think a cat, I don't feel like your cat is going to indulge you. I don't feel like you're going to say to your cat, well, it's time to eat together now.
That would be the funniest thing, though, is if you do this all, then your cat ghosts you on dinner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. That will be the, I know cats. I've had cats. That will be the outcome.
You're going to get stood up by something that lives in your house.
You're going to, here's what's going to happen. You will sit until your food gets cold. And then you'll dump your food and your cat's food in the trash. You will go to bed and your cat will be like, fucking, finally, and climb up into the trash and eat all the food. Yep. That's cats. That's cats in a nutshell.
Now, I will say, though, that this is reminding me very much of the commercials that played when I was a kid, where I think it was cat food. They'd put that little puck of cat food onto like a crystal bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And put that little leaf on it. I do remember thinking as a kid, like, that looks good. And I think it's all right. Presentation, but I was interested.
These retail for $1.07. So come on. Come on. Just make two servings of beurre blanc. I don't know if cats can have beurre blanc. Just between you, me, and the Lord Jesus Christ, guys, I don't even know what beurre blanc is exactly.
It's something white, Justin. It's beurre white.
It's definitely a sauce. Some type of sauce. Also, I don't even feel like petite cats is the style of meal that I would trust. To be like, oh, that's what, you know, I want what a husky cat would want. I want a husky cat.
They already make those. They're just called Hungry Man meals. And you just rip them up in a microwave with no problem.
Now, if your cat saw you doing that, they would think, ah, equal playing ground. Okay, cool.
Well, let me hit you with this idea where rather than trying harder to eat with your cat, you should be able to try less for everybody. So what I'm suggesting now to you guys is an instant microwave meal, like a TV dinner they used to call them, an instant microwave meal where one of the things in it is cat food.
Ooh.
So you got your chicken nuggets, you got your brownie, you got your corn that some of the brownie leaked into.
That's the best corn.
You got your cat food right there. hey, everybody, soup's on for all of us.
Oh,
we're all eating together.
And you know
family
what? It should be
family style.
You can tear it away to be a little separate bowl for the cat, or not. You know what I mean? If the cat just wants to hop up there next to you, and like, and you guys just kind of lean your heads down and both eat it out of the bowl, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's the experience that you're really looking for, right? Of eating out of the bowl together with your cat. That's what you're a cat owner. That's what you want if you're a cat owner or a fan of Fancy Feast, either one.
Now, I'm thinking through this now. We are going to have to be real explicit with the labeling on this. Because I have eaten some chocolate puddings in kid cuisines that are indistinguishable from cat food. So that would be
it won't kill you.
It'll be fine.
It'd be almost like, you know, they do those mystery candies or the mystery things. Like, which one's cat food?
You know? That's our tagline. You'll never guess which one's cat food. You guess which one's cat food, we'll send you a coupon for another one. It's double or nothing. We'll send you two the next time you get it. Hey, Ron, thank you so much for joining us for My Brother and Me. Where can people find more of your great work?
Oh, well, I'm going back on tour on the road. I'll be going to Salt Lake City and Austin, Texas, and a couple of other places, Phoenix, Arizona. So go to ronfunches.com for those dates, and then just follow me at most places at Ron Funches or Ron Funch on Instagram. Please check out Chopped 420 on Discovery Plus on 420. And then I have the Golden Arm movie coming out April 30th. So please.
Travis, what about you?
Oh, I'm on Twitch too. The Travis McElroy on Twitch. It's fun. That's a thing I like doing. But mostly I'm here, Justin, with you.
Yeah, that's true. I just want to give you the chance to plug, you know, if you got anything cooking. We've probably got some new merch. No, I don't think so. No new merch in the store. Thanks for hanging in there with us through this weird time. The finale of The Adventure Zone Graduation is live now. If you've been waiting until it ended to start it, this is your moment to go back and listen to the entire thing. We got a graphic novel coming out July 13th, The Adventure Zone, Crystal Kingdom. And then we got a podcasting book called Everybody Has a Podcast Except You. And that's out now. You don't have to wait for that one.
I have
it. It's available wherever. Fine. What?
I have that book.
Wow. Thanks, Ron. That's really nice. Wow. What a lift. Didn't say he read it, but it is nice that he has it.
I don't read many books, no.
I hear you. Yeah, you could have lied. I wouldn't quiz you. Thanks so much to Ron Funches. To Travis. Travis, do you have a final Yahoo for us?
I do, actually.
Fantastic.
Okay, here. This one is sent in by the prospector Merritt Palmer, and it is asked by Anonymous. And the question is, what animal is Donald Duck?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Ron Funches.
This has been my brother and me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.